Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Pretty simple, pretty straightforward when we look at that tonight. I do want to say this before we begin, because sometimes this can get misconstrued or misunderstood, and so I don't want there to be that. I want this to be a point of clarity tonight. So if you don't catch anything else, please at least catch this so you don't misunderstand where we're going, all right? We are not saved by works. Okay, just we'll get that ugly little thing out of the way, all right? We are not saved by works, all right? And I want to make that very clear tonight, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Everybody say grace through faith, all right? It says, "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Again, it is the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ at work in our lives. It's nothing that we can do or accomplish on our own, all right? Now, this is further solidified in Titus chapter 3. And so I want to read a little portion of that tonight to kind of fit it all into context so that verse 14 kind of has a little bit more bearing and ground to stand on, if you will. So I want to draw your attention to verse 4 there in Titus chapter 3. It says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And again, verse 8, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed, everybody say, those who have believed, all right? "For those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works," all right? So if you believe, if you have faith through Jesus Christ that he has granted you the gift of salvation, all right? If you are of that persuasion, you are of that belief that God has done that for you, then we need to be careful, it says, to be devoted to good works, all right? So again, while we are not saved by our works, we are definitely 100% called to good works and to be fruitful in those good works, all right? James chapter 2 kind of alludes to some of that, and I want to just highlight it instead of reading the whole chapter tonight, but I would encourage you to go back and read the entire chapter 2 of James. But I want to highlight verse 14, 17, and then 16 with us tonight, all right? Verse 14 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it?" All right? In other words, again, as we kind of mentioned, there needs to be a proof or an evidence that Christ is working in our lives and that we truly are in that relationship that we say we are with him when we profess to be a Christian. Amen? Verse 17 goes on to say, "So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony." Now, again, that's the Passion Translation, so maybe that seems to, you know, be a little stingy, but I think that it's pretty on the mark, all right? We have to make sure that what we say we are, we're actually living that out, all right? Verse 26 says, "For just as human body without the spirit is a dead corpse, so faith without the expression of good works is dead." So again, we know tonight that we are called to good works. We are called to be fruitful. And for some reason, this seems to be a little hard, it seems, for some portions of the church world and for many Christians today. But Jesus himself encouraged us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. He said, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." How many knows it is by doing those good things that other people come into knowledge and contact and salvation with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. How many knows that we can't hold on to our good works? Because if we hold on to our good works, essentially what we're doing is we're kind of, you know, hiding the lamp under the bushel. Y'all remember that? This little light is mine. What's the part? Hide it under a bushel? No. Right? I just want you guys to know that I went back and I watched myself Sunday, which I don't normally like to do. But since I've been in the habit of watching myself every Sunday, which is awkward for the last 3 months, I thought, why break tradition? And I apologize for some of my facial expressions and voices that come along with my sermons. It is just who I am. I'm sorry. You voted me in. All right. We're going to move on, though. All right. Here in Titus chapter 3, verse 14, it says that we're encouraged first to learn to maintain good works. Everybody say learn. It says, let our people learn to maintain good works. Learning here describes gaining knowledge by using and practicing what we have come to learn or realize. It's not just hearing something and then moving on. It's hearing that something. It's gaining a knowledge, and then it's putting that knowledge to use, or it's putting that knowledge into practice. We would call that maybe on-the-job training or experience, all right? It's making that thing that is just maybe a thought or a theory come to real life through some form of expression of our life, all right? The encouragement here is to always be accustomed to or in the habit of putting what we have learned into practical application. I hope that we are that group of people. I hope that we're the ones who come and we're not spiritual sponges, but we absorb what we need to so that we can walk out of these doors and, quote, be wrung out. All right? So that the next time we come in, we can absorb. But how many knows there's nothing worse than a sponge that never gets wrung out? What happens to that sucker? It gets moldy and stale, right? And it stinks. I don't know why stink keeps coming up, but we don't need a stink face and we don't need a stink salvation, all right? Let's get wrung out, all right? Let's absorb what God wants for us, and then let's go out into the world and let's get wrung out, and let's do what, that sounds bad, but I think it's real good, all right? Let's make t-shirts. Let's get wrung out, all right? Somebody make that happen. We need to also understand that this is for a purpose. Everybody say purpose. All right, sometimes looking at the body of Christ, especially from maybe just the pastoral perspective or vantage point, it seems like we miss the purpose. And in missing the purpose, we often deem the process of doing good works as optional. Again, I don't want us to miss tonight that it's not optional. All right, we think oftentimes that it's optional, meaning that it's not a requirement, that it can just kind of, it can happen if we want it to happen, which leads us to the thought of it being conditional, all right? And we need to understand tonight that it's not conditional, and conditional in the thought that it would be at our discretion or at our convenience. Well, I can put this into application, I can put this into practice if I deem necessary for the moment. It's not that either. It's not optional. It's not conditional. And I think a lot of times we even make it kind of like a to-do list. And what happens is in that to-do list type of mentality, we say, okay, I've got this checked off and this checked off and this checked off. So that means because I've checked those boxes off, I never have to go back and do that again. How many knows that's not how it works either? All right. I had a handwritten note there, and I promised myself and one other person that I would let the Holy Spirit check my handwritten note, and he did. And so you'll have to steal my notes to get it, because I'm not going to say it, all right? But what we need to understand is this. What happens inside of these mindsets of when things become optional or conditional or like a to-do list, we begin to treat the purpose of good works or being fruitful like it's an unnecessary thing at the very least, and like it's busy work at the best. How many knows that God didn't give us busy work? Now, he did say, occupy until I come, all right? Which means be at work, be busy. But how many knows it's not like in school when you have a substitute and they just hand you busy work for the class? That's the worst thing, right? Nobody likes to do that. Or at work, when everything is really kind of done or caught up, but then they're like, you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Maybe you guys didn't have the same jobs I did. And I, for that, you should say, thank you, Jesus, all right? But I've been in those places where you just had busy work, and busy work is never fun. But unfortunately, I feel like there's a portion of the body of Christ who's like, man, that's just busy work. But can I tell you, it's not just busy work, but it's being about his business tonight, amen? You see, in reality, our good works are meant to be a reflection of the kindness and the love of God that we have already hopefully experienced within our own lives and received, and so that we have experienced and received that kindness and love so that we in return can help others come to know and experience and receive that same kindness and love that God has planned for them, just like he had planned for us. And again, that is, again, an avenue for us to do that is simply through good works and being fruitful in our Christian lives. We are to learn to maintain good works. Everybody say maintain. Now, I think often what happens when we hear that word maintain is we think of that word maintain kind of as doing the minimum that is necessary to continue forward. It's just maintenance. It's just doing what is necessary to kind of feed the beast, feed the machine, you know. But that's really, again, the wrong perspective, especially in the context of the scripture that we're dealing with here tonight, because maintain describes something so much more here. What it means is that we are to care for and to give strict attention to good works, all right? It means that we should be active doing something good, something beneficial, something praiseworthy, not for ourselves, not for our name, but for Christ, all right? For his kingdom and for his glory. It means that we are to exhibit character that directs others by the positive impact of our example. That means it has to start somewhere, all right? And that means that if we hope for other people to understand, again, good works and being fruitful, they have to see an example of that in existence. And so we are called to have that type of a character that leads others to the same, again, lifestyle, if you will, of being what we need to be in Christ Jesus. It also denotes that we have to have an effective influence through a respected reputation as we set an example of excellence as we live by faith. How many knows today it seems like reputations have gone out the window? It's kind of like live how you want, do what you want, it's all good. I think there's a song that goes along with it, but I don't know the lyrics, and I think one of the lyrics might be a little uncalled for in the sanctuary at least. And so I don't want to break into song tonight, all right? But you should care about your reputation, all right? And some of you know the song now and others don't, and I hope I didn't just cause you to stumble, all right? But we should care. And again, how we live our life impacts other people. It impacts the people within our home. It impacts the people within our neighborhoods and our communities, within our circles of work and church community. And so we need to understand tonight that maintaining goes far beyond just doing the minimum necessary. Really, it means that we're excelling at this. It means that we're giving it our best at every go. Again, there is a purpose for all of that. There is a purpose to maintain or to learn to maintain good works, all right? It says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works. And here's the reason why. It says to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. To meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. The greater picture of scripture vastly broadens the purpose of good works, but here we just find a simple twofold issue, all right? And the first being that we are to meet urgent needs, and that basically just breaks down to something really simple. It means that we are to supply what is absolutely necessary or indispensable. Like in that very moment, what the occasion would demand or call for, we're supposed to just rise to that and meet that need. Whatever the occasion would demand, that's how we step up to do the good work in that moment. Again, it could be something as simple as taking a shopping cart from somebody back to the store. It could be holding a door. It could be a smile. It could be paying it forward by buying the person's meal, behind you in the drive-thru line. Whatever it may be, it could be something so simple. And as tonight, we'll discuss an even simpler option, all right, here in just a little bit. But it's knowing that in that moment, you're meeting a need. You're doing what is necessary and needed or demanded in that particular occasion, all right? The second thing is it says that they may not be unfruitful. Everybody say unfruitful. And that basically means that we are not yielding what we ought to be yielding, all right? It means that we're destitute of good deeds. And so he says, don't do that, all right? Make sure that you are yielding what you need to be yielding. Make sure that you are not destitute of good deeds. So from a biblical or scriptural point of view tonight, it's never good to be unfruitful, all right? If you read scripture, that which doesn't produce usually gets chopped down, all right? What happened when Jesus went, when he was hungry and he went to the fig tree that looked super healthy and was basically seasoned, and in that season when it should have been producing and there wasn't a single fig for him to grab, how many knows he cursed the fig tree and it withered and died? All right, now again, we want to say, but no, my Jesus is a Jesus of grace. He is, and his grace is amazing. All right, but we also have to understand that he does expect productivity to be at work in our lives, all right? Again, occupy till I come kind of thing, all right? So we know from that point of view that it is not good to be unfruitful. And so as a result, we are consistently through the word encouraged to be fruitful. Look at your neighbor and say, fruitful. You know, I think I'm going to have to cut out the repeats until we don't have to wear masks anymore. John 15 and 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide," or it should remain. "So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Again, we're called not to just bear fruit occasionally, but we're called to bear fruit consistently and fruit that will remain. And what that means is fruit that will continue to produce like fruit. So again, it's living out that example and having that example become other people's example. And then they live it out so that it becomes other people's example and so on and so forth. We get that tonight, right? Of course we do, all right? Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says this. It says, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." Christ did what he did for our salvation, absolutely, 100%. But he also did what he did so that we could do what God had planned and deemed necessary from that time forward to when he calls us to be with him forever and eternity. And so he did it in order that we may bear fruit for God. The Passion Translation renders that last part, "so that you may now bear spiritual fruit for God." The New Living says this, "as a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God." And so I need us to understand tonight that God has called us to something greater than just experiencing salvation. And maybe that sounds like real bad to you tonight, and I hope it doesn't, but it's the truth. He has saved us and he wants to have relationship with us, but that's not the end of what he desires inside of that relationship and inside of that salvation. He has called us to good works and he has called us to be fruitful, because it's in that process of good works and being fruitful that the kingdom of God is multiplied. Amen? That is where the multiplication factor begins to be birthed and released, if you will. Doing good works, meeting the needs of others, being fruitful requires us to get outside of ourselves and to engage with humanity. Now, humanity is like broken and real messed up right now, right? Just in case you weren't aware, yes. It is. And so what we have to remember is that inside of that brokenness, God still has a plan for all of those broken people. Amen? And so some of the way to penetrate that brokenness is by the church rising to the occasion and being faithful at performing those good works and being fruitful. Amen? I don't know, you know, where you stand tonight. For some people, the thought of engaging with humanity right now is like the thought alone of just interacting with people, maybe even on a normal day, whatever that means anymore, all right? It's just like purely paralyzing. Maybe for you tonight, you're sitting here and you're like, that is not me. I am an introvert, and I'm so introverted, like, I don't even like myself. You know, like maybe you're just that introverted, all right? But can I tell you that doing good works and engaging with humanity, being fruitful, it's not as scary and painful as we often think it and make it out to be, all right? Maybe tonight, again, for some of us, it just feels like unnecessary busy work. Well, I want to encourage you tonight, again, that it's not busy work. It's just being about the Father's business. For others, it may feel beneath them. You know, again, I've already been there, done that, got the t-shirt, I've got the badge, and so I don't have to go back and do that. Let somebody else do that. Again, please, I know this seems like I say this all the time, but if you have breath in your body, God's not done with you yet, okay? And if you're just bound and determined not to do anything, hold your breath for as long as you can. No, I'm just kidding. Oh man, I forgot we're live streaming. That's horrible. Maybe Stormy can edit that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right. You see, if it isn't a privilege full of joy and possibility for you, I understand that. Because there have been times in my life where the thought of trying to engage with someone, especially someone I didn't know, it did. It used to paralyze me. And there have been times where I've even gone through that season of, man, I've already done that. Do I have to do that again? But the answer is still yes, all right? So we need to get to that point where we understand that this element of learning to maintain good works and being fruitful, it should be a privilege, again, full of joy and possibility for us, all right? And please, in that, we need to understand that truth and instruction that we're given is there, and it is there because it's challenging us to accept that call and understand the necessity that good works and being fruitful is a thing that we need to be, again, constantly learning, constantly allowing to be developed inside of our lives, all right? What we need to remember is that Christ promised us that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. And so when we have that type of faith in who he is, you can walk into situations where maybe it is a little challenging and maybe it even feels a little uncomfortable. But I promise that if you will walk into that, understanding that he's going to pull the best out of you to hopefully reveal the best to them, to get them to understand that he loves them and he desires a relationship with them, it begins to again, lighten that load and that fear, if you will. And so tonight, no matter where you're at on that spectrum, I want to encourage you, and I'm fixing to challenge you, which, you know, again, don't stone me, you know, for that. It's just my pastoral duty, all right? Tonight, maybe we're at that point where we're like, you know, that sounds great. You know, doing good works and being fruitful, that's, woohoo, that you got me, Pastor. That's awesome. I don't know where to start. I'm so glad that you said that, because I can help you tonight. Are you glad that I can help you with that tonight? Oh, four of you are. We'll start there. That's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, and then we're gonna kind of wrap this up tonight, all right? It says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. All right. It says that he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Chase, I want you to come up here for a minute, man. I'm going to use you. All right. You've already heard me allude to this a few times. We had another 25 cases of half gallons donated to the church. That's awesome, right? So what happened was, God moved and he provided milk. All right? He moved. Dad joke. All right, sorry, I had to do it. All right. Now, as a result, what he did was it says that he increased our resources, right? Chase didn't know how he was going to do a good work this week. He was wondering. He had no idea. You can't hear him, but he's like, man, I had no idea how I was going to do that, all right? But what happened was God, again, he moved, he gave us milk, and look, he resourced Chase to now do a good work and to be fruitful this week. So here's my challenge. I have a few half gallons of milk. Hold on, don't go anywhere because we're gonna do something in just a minute. We have, again, a few up here. And if you want to take just a few, I want to encourage you to take a few. But if you want to go down and meet us after church and take a crate of nine, I want to encourage you to take a crate of nine. I've got people that are going to be doing that. We're going to distribute out this tonight, and we've got some who are going to go solo tomorrow and work whatever the Lord brings their way. Tomorrow from 1 to 4, all right, we're going to meet here at the church at 1, all right, and whoever, if you're that person that says, I cannot go by myself, don't. Go with us. Chase and I are going again tomorrow to hand out milk, all right, and so if you want to come and be a part of that, be here at 1 o'clock, all right? And basically, I said 1 to 4, but if it goes the way that it went last time, it'll probably only take about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours tops, and we'll be out of milk, all right? But I wanted to give you all an easy way to begin the process of understanding and doing, maintaining good works and being fruitful, all right? And again, it is literally this simple. Let's not overcomplicate giving milk away because it's real easy. All right, you ready? Watch this. Hey, my name's Pastor John. I'm from Life Christian Center, and Prairie Farms donated us a bunch of milk. Could your family use some milk?
Yes.
Awesome. Could you use more?
Yes.
Oh, awesome, because I have more. Here you go. Hey, all right, you have a great day. Yeah. Don't do that, though, because we're still social distance or whatever, all right? It is literally that simple. What about that was complicated? The most effort that we have to put into that is to crawl into the van, to crawl out of the van, to walk up a few steps, to knock on a door. And can I tell you that again? And I'm not saying this to guilt you, to anything. I'm just telling you, I had a blast. And I'm pretty sure that Chase and Jessica had a blast as well. And I know Steve even went with us on one of the goes. We had fun giving milk out. It was amazing. And can I tell you that some people would say, well, where's the spiritual aspect of that? You're sowing a good seed. You're showing the love of Christ. Amen. But can I tell you that in those moments, I didn't have to say, are you saved? Okay, let me walk you down the Romans road of salvation. I hope I can remember it. If not, we're going to take a detour, but we'll get back on. Just hang with me. I didn't have to do that because what happened was when we just did that very simple natural interaction, some people just received the milk. And how many knows the milk can be the blessing? It can be the good work. It can be the fruit. The milk can do the whole job. We don't have to overthink it. We don't have to overdo it. But what we also experienced was that there were some people who went beyond that, and not because we pressed in, but because they came to us. Hey, will you pray with me? Yeah, what do you need prayer about? Okay, some people, it was just a conversation. We ran into so many seniors that have been literally stuck in their home for the last 3 months, and they haven't seen anybody. And what they wanted was just a short little conversation. So we gave them milk, and we gave them a 2-minute conversation, and you would have thought that they won the lottery. You see, it's that simple. Good works. Fruitful. It's that simple. And if God opens the door to something greater, dive in. Don't be afraid. Because what does the word declare? It declares that if we will just speak in that moment, he will fill our mouths and give us the words, right? And it doesn't have to be verbatim from Scripture, all right? How many know sometimes God works through simple words? He does. And so tonight, I just want to challenge you. If you don't want to run solo, that's fine. That's great. If you don't want to, now, if you want to do it as a family or as a couple, again, I encourage you to do that. Just walk up to any apartment complex in our area, and that's a great starting ground, all right? Go to the laundromat. Great place to do it, all right? Go to a parking lot at a gas station or a grocery store. I mean, the grocery store might not appreciate you giving away free milk, all right? And if you do it there, don't tell them you're from Life Christian Center, all right? But you can find just about anywhere, all right? And people will look at you weird, all right? And you will get, we had one guy that looked at us like he was waiting for the punchline. And he just didn't trust me and Jessica, and that was fine. But we walked away, and eventually the milk went in the house. But then we had other people who immediately were like, I had two instances where I had a young man who was running up the steps in front of me, and I said, "Hey, bud," and he turned around real quick like, you know, he was in trouble. And I said, "Could you use some milk?" And he got this look on his face, and he said, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "No, could you guys use some milk?" He goes, "Man, I was just running upstairs to our neighbors to see if we could borrow a cup of milk." He said, "That's awesome." I said, "Here you go, man." And so I get up to the neighbors to give them milk, and she said, "Here, I'll only take one. Can you give the other one that you were going to give me back down to my other neighbors?" She said, "They really like milk." And so I knocked on their door again, and the mom came to the door this time, and she kind of had tears in her eyes. And I said, "Here, I heard you guys like to drink milk." And I just gave her an extra one. And then a little while later, we had a lady that she was telling me, she said, she caught me before I could even get all the way up the stairs. She said, "Are you bringing me milk?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm bringing you milk." She said, "Man, I pulled a bowl of cereal this morning, and I went to grab my milk, and my milk was spoiled." And she said, "All I've wanted all day was a bowl of cereal, and I told the Lord I could really just use some milk." She said, "And here you are bringing me some milk." And I said, "Man, that's awesome." And so I went to hand them to her, and I wasn't getting away. She gave me a hug, you know, I was like, "Hey, it is what it is," and we just enjoyed the moment. So again, the milk can be the blessing. All right, it can be the blessing in itself, but let's rise to the occasion and take advantage of the resources that God has given us, and let's put them to good work. Let's put them into action so that they are fruitful for the kingdom of God. Amen. So tonight, if you want to take milk with you, we can start with this cooler. If there's not enough in there, hey, let's run down. It's in the fridge. We'll get it. If you want to meet us here tomorrow at 1 and go with us, you are more than welcome to do that. And we want to be a blessing to our community. Amen. We want to get out and we want to share the love of Jesus Christ, but we also want to show the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would stand with me tonight. I think I'm done with you. I'm not sure. Just stay close. Oh, yeah. We will also do that. If you will, I want you to just pray with me tonight. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have been given in recent weeks and even have been given now again through God being resourced with milk. God, I know it seems simple. I know it seems maybe even to some unspiritual, but God, I believe that you have used, Lord, just the simplicity of giving away milk as an open door to hearts and to homes within our community. So Father, I pray that as individuals, as families, as a church body, God, that we would be inspired to learn to maintain good works and be fruitful. God, that we would come together and understand the value, Lord, of distributing what you resource us with, God, to bless others. And so, Father, stir in our hearts, challenge us. Even in this moment, God, there may be some that are on the fence. God, I want you to speak to their heart. And God, I want you to maybe even in this moment, give them a specific number of half gallons to take. And then, God, you open the doors for where they need to go and deliver those. Father, I thank you tonight for this church body. God, I thank you for their heart to love people and to accept people and to include people. So, God, help us to take that which, God, is so ingrained in our DNA, so ingrained in our culture. And God, let us now live that outside of this facility. God, let us live that outside of the church walls. Again, Lord, not for our glory, not for our fame as individuals or even as a church body, but God, simply for your glory, for your fame, Lord, for your kingdom. Father, I thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen and amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.